Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Sustainable Investing Perspectives podcast series here on the UBS Conversations podcast channel. For today, we are diving into one of the biggest shifts shaping portfolios in 2026. Investors are no longer asking whether something qualifies as sustainable. They want to know whether it delivers. Sustainable investing is entering a new era, one where outcomes, resilience, and real-world impact sit at the center of portfolio construction. From equities to fixed income to alternatives, this year brings both structural challenges and compelling opportunities, from the AI-driven surge in power and water demand to the accelerating transition across energy, infrastructure, and materials. So with that, joining us in our new podcast studio at 1285 Avenue of the Americas in New York, happy to have at the table with me today Tiffany Agard as well as Andrew Lee from the CIO Sustainable and Impact Investing team. Tiffany and Andrew will walk us through how investors can navigate these themes, where fundamentals are strengthening, and what it means to build portfolios equipped for the world we're heading into. So, Andrew, Tiffany, great to be with you both. Thank you for dropping by. And Tiffany, let me now pass it over to you to lead today's conversation with Andrew.
Great. Thanks so much, Dan. And we're so happy to be here. And this is a beautiful new studio. So Thank you. Very excited. Andrew, glad to have you in the studio. I know there is a lot to talk about for 2026. So I think we'll cover about four key topics in this. We'll start with the portfolio outlook, then delve into some of our key interests this year. AI being our second point, energy and the broader transition to a low-carbon economy, and finally, adaptation. So Andrew, let's start big picture. I think in overall, you know, we're expecting 2026 to continue this shift from labels to outcomes in the world of sustainability as it relates to investing. Less about what it is and more about what sustainability outcomes and financial performance can investing with a sustainable lens provide. From that perspective, how should an investor adjust their playbook across equities, fixed income, and alternatives?
Absolutely. You know, investors are really actively looking at how their interest in sustainability can and should be reflected in an investment portfolio, given the rapidly evolving environment. I think we've shifted from, you know, people being about labels or ESG, but really towards focusing on what opportunities and risks does sustainability present, and how resilient our portfolios, given how we think things will play out over the coming years. So, you know, across asset classes, here's how we would think about all of that in terms of positioning within a portfolio. So let's start with equities, typically the largest allocation within investor portfolios. The message is broaden exposure, right? CIO sees a supportive macro environment and performance widening beyond the mega caps, which have driven a lot of performance. Fundamentals are increasingly compelling in sectors like utilities and healthcare and financials. And companies that show operational leadership on sustainability tend to align closely with these trends. And the solutions on our sustainability-focused fund shelf do show overweights to tech, healthcare, and industrials. So also within equities, as we think about company size, again, to the mega cap point that we made before, we see small and mid cap indices trading at a 15% discount compared to large cap, which does present an opportunity for re-rating as company fundamentals strengthen. So many of the companies that we see that are not yet sustainability leaders, but are actively making strides in terms of how they approach sustainability topics like labor or resource efficiency, are in the small and mid-cap spectrum rather than the larger mega caps. So there is an opportunity with getting this type of exposure, both from a sustainability perspective and a potential performance perspective. If we switch over to fixed income, yields are still historically attractive, even if spreads are tight. So development bank bonds look interesting as a treasury alternative with small liquidity premiums and a strong linkage to resilience and sustainable development. We would be selective in labeled bonds and cautious on sustainability-linked bonds, though, given quality dispersion. And a lot of people are interested in high-quality green social and sustainability bonds. Those provide exposure to long-duration infrastructure themes with pretty stable return drivers. So nice component of the portfolio. And within the alternative space, specifically infrastructure, those types of investments are very much in focus, both from a portfolio construction standpoint and the exposure that they can provide to long lockup investments in renewables and grid and assets that will be the beneficiaries of both the AI power wave as well as the transition to a low carbon economy.
Right. That's great. It sounds like we're really focusing on areas where sustainability improves fundamentals and provides risk-adjusted returns. And the AI point that you mentioned is really important there. I think it's obviously something that has been talked about time and time again, and that's because it has been just so influential on, you know, society, on companies. So this boom is also putting pressure on electricity and cooling systems, and we're seeing that show up in sort of this demand for infrastructure, as you just mentioned. And there's data coming out from the IEA showing that data centers could double the electricity demand by 2030, right? So all of this is reshaping how we're thinking around energy, how we're thinking around water and materials demand. Can you talk more about sort of balancing the investment opportunities as well as any sort of risks that may be associated with that?
Certainly. I mean, look, AI is something that is significant for portfolios, and we have to think about how it's reflected. But you talked about balance. We've seen a lot of market concentration in the mega caps with AI. But we think about AI more as a systems trade, right? It's not just technology, but it encompasses power systems, water risk, circularity. It's also enabling efficiencies in a number of other areas tied to sustainability. So, you know, think about power and grid infrastructure, right? Data centers need massive, consistent sources of electricity. That's creating opportunities for renewable energy developers who are able to get affordable energy online cheaper and quicker than traditional sources across the U.S. Also, grid modernization companies, battery storage, flexible generation, and transmission infrastructure. So lots of opportunities in this area related to AI, offering the opportunity for long-duration utility-like cash flows, exactly the type of stability that many investors are looking for. Cooling is another important factor. All of this data and power generate heat. So traditional cooling systems can put a strain on local water systems, which again presents opportunities for companies that enable liquid cooling, advanced heat recovery, water recycling technologies. These are all opportunities for those types of solutions providers. One of the dynamics around AI that we don't necessarily talk as much about is the materials angle. The hardware refresh cycle for AI is fast, which means that more e-waste is produced, which is an opportunity and perhaps a need for high-value recycling and advanced materials companies. And then the last thing I'd mention on the upside is that AI can be an enabler of sustainability, right? So optimization of energy grids, agriculture, water systems, supply chains, diagnostics and healthcare. There are lots of different areas where AI can help improve efficiency and lower operating costs for things that are sustainability related.
I would also add to that that governance is also going to be really important here. So as investors are thinking about these different opportunities, right, where do you have companies that are disclosing their energy sourcing, their water use, their AI ethics frameworks, right? So there was a recent S&P report that found only about a third of companies have truly robust AI policies that go beyond privacy, right? So this is not just a moral statement, but also thinking around risk management, right? And as this continues to boom, how are we making sure that we're mindful of the risks as well as taking advantage of those opportunities?
It's a great point. AI governance, AI is evolving rapidly and governance is going to be really important. Look, we've been talking a lot about AI and energy needs. This brings up a theme that the Chief Investment Office has been highlighting on energy transitions and more broadly, the transition to a low carbon economy. The transitions are going to take an all-of-the-above approach in terms of energy sources, and you'll have lots of stakeholders around the table, from policymakers to companies to investors. But what matters to us is the investor lens. So from an investor perspective, let's talk through all the different ways that investors can really position their portfolios for the transition.
Yeah, that's a great, great question, and definitely a great opportunity. And I would definitely think about the transition as a spectrum, right? And so you're going to have companies that are all across this the spectrum, right? So we need to think about who are the companies that are leading the charge, right, that have already sort of made some of these transitions and are really well positioned to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming as the rest of the world continues this transition, right? Who is more so starting to put their foot into this space and is on that path to improvement, right? Those who have not quite figured out how to tap into it but are well poised to do so in the near future. And then also thinking about who are some of the tangible solution providers, right? And what opportunities do they have and how can we think around fitting them into the portfolio? And so I think I would start with the sort of solutions providers lens, right? And these are going to be the ones with the most direct exposure. So this sits within grid technologies, electrification, renewables, also thinking around building efficiency, building materials, right? And how do we think around decarbonizing sort of the industrial space? So companies in that realm will really touch into this sort of solution space. And those can be paired really well with those who are already leading the transition space. So those can be companies that are already sort of operating with lower emissions than their peers, right? This could be utilities companies with clean energy generation, industrials with electrified opportunities, or even healthcare companies that are thinking more broadly about their not only their consumers, right, but also thinking around reducing their footprint while increasing efficiency. So these are really the folks who are going to be able to offer quality as well as some of those more stable cash flows. And then finally, you have the companies that are really on this path to sort of improvement and really have a lot of room to grow within this transformation that's happening. And this is where you'll find some good opportunities for upside, right? So higher emissions companies that have really strong, credible plans and the ability to execute on reducing their footprint and the opportunities that that can bring as well from a financial performance standpoint, as well as thinking about the sustainability outcomes. And here's where you want to be selective on players. There's obviously going to be a big dispersion and some will lean more towards the leaders in the end and some may not. So as this plays out, there is definitely room for to benefit from multiple expansion with some of these companies.
Yeah, I think all of these types that you mentioned, there tends to be a bit of a sector focus. So have to be mindful of how allocating to transition or incorporating transition really impacts the diversification of any investment portfolio. I think there's also an element of regional variation here that drives an opportunity set, but also just thought about how to position your portfolio. For a U.S. investor, for example, the U.S. can remain a core allocation, especially given that IRA incentives still do drive investment. When we think more broadly, Europe's carbon pricing regime, as well as the industrial policies in Asia, really underscore a pretty strong opportunity set for globally positioned portfolios. So region matters, but there are opportunities across the different regions.
I would say another theme that we really started to hear a lot about in 2025, a little bit before, and that we really expect to hear more about going forward is adaptation, right? So this is thinking around how are we building towards the future with the lens of resilience as to how our planet's climate is already changing and what impact that has. So in 2025, I think it was only around 48% of disaster losses were insured. And there was a World Resources Institute study that showed about a dollar of investment in resilience would lead to around more than $10 in benefits, right? So this has typically been a field that is really more so focused in the public capital space before, but is now becoming more investable. So how can investors access this adaptation theme without going sort of in a more purely, you know, play space, focusing in their own backyard? How can they think more broadly about this space?
Yeah, adaptation is important, right? I mean, this is the world that we live in. I think the recognition that we cannot just focus on reduction of emissions, which is critical, but acknowledging, you know, the environment in which we live and the trajectory that it's headed in right now. That's adaptation. So we absolutely are going to have more opportunities within adaptation and the need for people to focus on adaptation in the year ahead, certainly, and the years ahead. I think there are three ways that people can think about adaptation, at least in the near term. You know, one is we talked earlier about development bank bonds. These represent 57% of international public adaptation finance to developing countries. And as we mentioned, offer a modest pickup versus treasuries. So that's one opportunity. Another opportunity also in fixed income, thematic fixed income. So bonds where the use of proceeds is oriented towards water or land use or resilience initiatives. are an opportunity, as well as select sustainable munis. All of those work towards addressing adaptation-related needs. And then the third one that I point to is solutions providers, particularly in the industrials or materials sectors, essentially companies whose products and solutions help to strengthen resilience across sectors for a world in which we face more physical climate risks. So examples are building products and design for retrofitting, water management, we talked about that previously, construction machinery, and advanced materials. So in a way, you can think of it, the adaptation is both a risk hedge and a growth driver, protecting asset values that are in place, preparing for a life in a different environment than we've lived in previously, and in some cases, unlocking new demand.
That's great. We've definitely covered a lot of really interesting topics in this conversation. As we're thinking about investors and sort of what they should be taking away from this, I think it's really important to think about how to use some of these key themes to build a diversified portfolio, right? So within AI and the transition, we talked primarily around equities and different types of companies that can play in this equity space. And then in adaptation, we see a little bit more that tilt towards fixed income. So as you're thinking around diversifying your portfolio, know that there are options across all of the asset classes to engage in these themes. But maybe just a final question for you here, Andrew. If there was sort of one word or one phrase to describe your thoughts for sustainable investing in 2026, what would it be?
Resilience, resilience both for your portfolio and resilience for the world we live in.
Yep, I think that's great. Oh, we can leave it at that. Thanks, Dan, for having us. And we're so excited to bring more into the UBS studios in 2026.
Definitely. Tiffany, Andrew, very productive episode, very insightful. So the first of many conversations here in the news space. Thank you both again for dropping by today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.